It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by the Honorable Jim Costa. He's a farmer from California, member of the House Ag Committee. Great to see you.
Good to see you, Tony, and it's always good to be with All Ag all day. And you do a terrific job in informing listeners throughout the country and, your viewers about the challenges facing American agriculture. And we appreciate that because, as I like to say, food is a national security issue. And American farmers and farm workers, dairymen and women, every day work so hard to put food on America's dinner table. And too often that's taken for granted.
Right now, whether we're talking California, we're talking pretty much at this point, any state west of the Mississippi is dealing with some type of drought. Obviously affecting your district as well. Has that been on your radar, not just for, California, but for the entire West?
Right. Well, we're facing extreme drought conditions in the West, and in California particularly. It's our second year in a row in which we've had extreme drought conditions. And the San Joaquin Valley that I represent, which is really one of the most productive agriculture regions, not only in the country, but in the world. And we like to say in the valley that I love and that I grew up in and where I farm, that where water flows, food grows. But with these extreme drought conditions, we have a zero allocation for our federal water contractors. And clearly that makes them reliant on pumping. And we're overdrafting like other parts of the country, our groundwater. And my dad used to tell me when I was in college and I got a checking account, I thought it was pretty hot stuff, I had my own checking account. He says, kid, he says, you can write those checks as long as you make deposits. But when you quit making deposits, you can't write those checks anymore. And I use that story because I think it's akin to our challenges with agricultural regions throughout the country, but certainly in the valley. We can't continue to overdraft our groundwater because without recharging that groundwater. And in California, we've got some new state law that is attempting to try to get our groundwater in balance over the next 10, 15 years. And I can't make it rain, but we can provide additional water resources to help fix our broken water system in California. And I say it's broken because it's not capable of providing the supply for all of the needs and the demands on our water for our farms, which use about 40% of the water in California, for our municipalities, which use about 10%, and the environment, which uses about half the water. And the fact of the matter is that we've grown. There's more demands placed on our water system, both our federal, our state water projects, and our local water districts. And so we're trying to come together to use all the water tools in our water toolbox. And but it's tough. We're going to probably, out of 8 million acres this year in California, fallow over 1 million acres. But we do have funding in the bipartisan infrastructure package to begin repairing some of our infrastructure, some of our major aqueducts, canals that move water hundreds of miles. And the east side and the west side of the valley are under construction. Parts of that transfer system has been limited to 25% of its capacity to move water, as an example. We're trying to increase our capacity in some of our existing reservoirs, and we're trying to build some new reservoirs so that when it does rain and we have snow in the mountains, we can work on recharging our groundwater. But clearly, California is just one part of what the West and other parts of the country is facing in terms of its water needs. I will tell you, with climate change, and we see the impacts, I mean, look at 104 degrees in London today, and parts of Europe where wildfires are raging as they do in the West and in California. We've got to get a better handle on the impacts that, which we're raising our CO2 carbon levels that are impacting our climatic conditions that are creating extreme droughts and heat waves in different parts of the world. And the bottom line is this. Water, I believe in the next 10 years, and the management of water resources, not only in the United States but around the world, will rival energy as to whether or not nation states can live together amicably. I mean, it's estimated that with Russia's horrific invasion of Ukraine and the weaponization that Putin has done on wheat and wheat exports out of Ukraine, that potentially 20 million people or more will experience famine in Africa and in the Middle East. And I, at a conference in Europe 2 weeks ago, said that this is a precursor. Even if Russia had not invaded Ukraine, the impacts on a growing planet from 7 billion people more or less today to 9 billion people by the middle of the century, as climate change occurs, certain areas are not going to be able to produce food for survivability. And so water, where water flows, food grows, will rival energy as to whether or not nation states can live together amicably. And I think really we're now beginning to see the impacts of that, that we can't take our food for granted, as so many people do.
We can use an example from California that maybe it's not even at the point yet where we don't have the food. Could we use maybe almonds or almonds, depending upon what part of the state you're from, where their problem is not necessarily the growing. They can't get it shipped out. And so that opens the door to talk about infrastructure issues, and right. That's a multi-layered problem. What are you watching?
Well, the bipartisan infrastructure package we passed last fall is going to provide additional funding to help with our investments in our infrastructure and our ports and harbors and a host of other badly needed investments that we need to make to compete in the 21st century. But that's longer term. Short term is what we've discovered as a result in, for a lot of causes, this, first of all, this pandemic in which our economy became constrained because of the closure of schools and restaurants, and then now a rapid expansion. And we're seeing a phenomenon that we've really not seen before, where demand has increased, but our ability to meet that supply and demand is not keeping pace. That's creating inflationary pressures beyond what has occurred in the last 5 months with Russia's invasion of Ukraine, in which Putin has weaponized oil and gas, as well as wheat and food. But we have problems both domestically and internationally, internationally in exporting our products that we grow here so well throughout the country. California, 44% of our agriculture is exported. But we've had a point as 6 months ago where 80% of the container ships coming into California were leaving empty. And that's an unfair trade. You know, I mean, we had the products, we had the markets, whether we're talking about almonds or almonds grown in California, 70% of the world's production, our pistachios, our cheese, Leprino Foods, the largest manufacturer of mozzarella cheese for pizza, but 26% of their product is exported. And when they can't get the containers to put their cheese in those ships to export, they're very much in danger of losing market share. We have markets for almonds and pistachios in Asia, but if you can't get your product there, then it depresses prices. It adds to inflationary pressures. We have a heavy carryover in the case of example of almonds. where 800 million pounds from last year's crop, and then that further depresses prices. I had some sweet potato growers in my office this morning, and because of lack of containers to export sweet potatoes from North Carolina, those products are being sold here domestically that otherwise would be going to Europe. And that's putting a glut of sweet potatoes in this country on the market. So there's all sorts of impacts that we see taking place on the supply chain on our export market. Domestically, again, because of the constraints of supply and demand based upon the pandemic and the reopening of this economy, we don't have enough rail cars, rail trains, for shipment. Let me give you an example. California's dairy industry, which produces 20% of all the milk products in America, we, because of the high demand of 1,200 dairies, large dairies, and our poultry industry, produce about 2 months of our annual yearly feed supply for our dairies, which means 10 months of our feed supply, corn feed and other feed products for cattle and poultry, are dependent upon shipment of trains from the Midwest to California. These are large trains, 4 to 7 trains a week that are 100, 120 car trains. And because, again, the constraints of the, as a result of the pandemic, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, laying off of an early retirement for people who work in railroads, mothballing, train sets, locomotives, and cars. Now, all of a sudden, this demand is heated up, and we find two of the major rail shippers in America, Union Pacific and Burlington Northern, unable to meet the demand. And we need that supply of feed coming in weekly. And now it's only going to get more challenging, I think, because they're going to start harvesting in the Midwest here in August and September, and there will be more demands on those cars. And we see that also having a ripple effect on getting feed to places like Florida. So we have a domestic challenge right now in our ability to ship our products domestically from where we grow them to where we need them.
Plenty of challenges. Know you're working on as many as you can. Thanks for your time, for your work here. Maybe we can come back and see you soon and talk about some of the success of working through these.
Well, thank you, Tony St. James, for highlighting these issues. We have legislation that's become law with Congressman John Garamendi and myself to give the Federal Maritime Commission the authority to deal with the empty container issue and the demurrage issue. We're going to be holding hearings with the subcommittee on rail to really bring in the head of the Federal Surface and Transportation Authority on the challenges that we need to ensure that our rail systems work and are able to move products throughout the country. So we're hosting an effort here in Washington to deal with both short-term and long-term challenges of our supply chain that really must be met because it really impacts our economy. It impacts cost of living. Americans are concerned about inflation. I'm concerned about inflation. The price of gas and food products in the grocery stores obviously make a big difference to the working American who are doing their best to make ends meet.
He represents the 16th Congressional District of California, member of the House Ag Committee, and actually a chairman of the subcommittee as well. It's the Honorable Jim Costa on today's Agribusiness Report.